You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
With the metal head just on a regular stem, it's much less common.
Okay.
So it used to be, and also the ceramic on the plastic mechanically in the laboratory has better wear characteristics, as in the plastic doesn't wear out as quickly.
Okay.
In humans so far, it may not matter, but at least in the lab, it's better. The ceramic used to be more expensive. At least at our hospital now, we get the ceramic head cost is the same as the metal. So unless I can't, because there's certain sizes, whatnot,
sure.
I can't use the ceramic
sure.
just mechanically. 90% plus gets ceramic on the plastic. So that
okay.
the people hear the issues with the cobalt and they get nervous. The hips I put in, for the vast majority, they're titanium, ceramic, and plastic. None of those ion things that are scary on the news are in the hips I'm putting in at all.
Okay.
The knee, the tibial piece, the part that goes into the lower part, into the
right.
shin, is almost always titanium. The femur piece is a cobalt chromium steel for most patients still. Alloy, it's just the stiffness of it, the way it's a different part of the body, it works better in that to be cobalt chromium. And then there's the same exact type of plastic that makes the socket in the hip joint is in between those pieces, between a femur and a tibia, and usually a plastic piece behind the kneecap. So it's titanium and the same kind of plastic, what's called highly cross-linked polyethylene, but usually a steel femur, basically.
Okay.
There are all titanium femurs. That mechanically are pretty close to being the same, that if someone has like a really bad, like a nickel allergy or something like that, known going into it, you can use an all-titanium femur. They're more expensive and very rarely needed. And as far as those ion issues in knees, as far as I'm aware, they don't exist.
No one's okay.
I've never heard anything about it. Because there's no metal against the metal, which is what in the stem, in the hip, there's a junction where the metal ball is on the stem, and if it's a metal hip ball against a metal socket, it's the metal against the metal that makes the ions. If that metal is against the plastic, which is how it is in the knee, there's no bearing surface. It's like a hinge that can rub, and the metal screws and
right,
hinge can
right.
make some debris. If that hinge connection is not there, there can be no debris. So that's why
okay.
in the knee it works.
Okay. I just remember when I was in rehab, one of the doctors there said to me, look on the bright side of this. And I says, yeah, what's the bright side? He says, well, you won't break your leg. He says, titanium doesn't break, you know. So, but with that, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center show, and we're very fortunate to have with us Nancy Miller, who's a coordinator of bone and joint health, and Dr. Philip Glasner, who is the Mid-Jersey orthopedic surgeon. And we will be back in just a couple minutes, so hang in there.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
Welcome back to Medical Center Show. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have Nancy Miller, who's a coordinator of Bone and Joint Health, and Dr. Philip Glasner from the Mid-Jersey Orthopedics, and we've been talking about hip and knee replacements. I have a quick question I'd like to ask the doctor. Over the course of the last 5 years, having had knee surgery or knee replacement, I've met a lot of people who have. And most of them, if not all of them that I've spoken to, have said that they hear their knee click. And I know I feel it, but I don't, you know, people can't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's like if I'm walking, I can hear it clicking. You know, I can hear it.
Right.
They can hear it. What is that?
It's totally
Why
normal.
Why is that?
Totally normal. So basically, when your knee is cartilage and bone, it's squishy. It's a nice, like a little shock absorber. So when the surfaces touch, it's like if you put two pillows together, you don't hear any sound. When your knee's replaced, it is now, like I mentioned, it's the surfaces that are touching is a cobalt chromium steel and a hard plastic. So that when they hit, you can feel it.
Okay. It doesn't hurt or anything.
Right.
You know.
So that's the important part. If it clicks and it hurts, it could be a problem. If it's a clicking that you notice certain amounts of pivoting, twisting, because every knee has some give to it. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to. Every knee replacement that's ever been done, I can examine and make it click. If it moves too much and it clicks too much, you can have instability, you can have pain, it can lead to loosening. So there kind of has to be the right amount of
right.
give. But in certain positions, because it's just when the metal and the plastic come in contact, you're going to feel a click or a clunk. It's disconcerting at first, but it's totally normal.
Yeah.
And a lot of it goes away as time goes, because as your muscles get stronger and your gait normalizes, it doesn't do it as much. But most of it doesn't really go away. You just get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
It happens, and you just don't pay attention to it anymore. But it is totally normal. It's just those surfaces, there's a little bit of side-to-side motion, and
right.
also the kneecap
right.
that's plastic can hit the front of the femur in certain positions, and that makes a little click or a clunk. But if it doesn't hurt or get like yeah. stuck or locked or anything like that,
no, mine
it's completely
it
normal
hurt at all.
And there's nothing to worry about. If it clicks and hurts or you feel like it's locking or catching, that could be an issue and that needs to be checked out.
Okay.
But just noticing you know, even though you may be the only one can kind of hear it, but almost an audible or noticeable click or clunk. No, it doesn't hurt at all. I just notice it's clicking and clunking.
Right.
Totally normal. Nothing to worry about.
Okay.
It's just the surface is touching.
Okay.
But good question.
Now, you had a question, Nancy, that you wanted to ask.
Well, I remember when Dr. Glassner was doing a talk once, he gave this very interesting analogy that I've since repeated many times, where you're talking about the differences between hip replacement patients and joint replacement knee replacement patients in regards to what it takes, the part you play.
Recovery-wise, right. So we're referring to, so basically, you know, knee and hip replacement, they're different. It's a different joint mechanically. And the way the operation is done with the knee, where the incision is versus where the hip incision is, knee replacement, for one, is a little more uncomfortable, like as far as pain post-op, than a hip replacement. It's just mechanics. Doesn't mean you can't get through it and we control your pain well, but there's a little more to it, and that plays a big role, because the way it shakes out is knee replacement is basically 50% me, is 50% the surgeon as far as recovery, and 50% the patient. And I have the easy half of the operation. It takes me an hour, hour and a half, and I say, now they wake you up, do your exercises. And you go, are you kidding me? But as you start to move your knee and bend your knee, you get better. But if you don't do your 50%, you're not going to get your recovery. Right. In the operating room, I'll have your leg will be all the way straight, and I'm going to put your heel right to your behind. The only way you're going to get close to that post-op is 100% the patient. We can bark at you and tell you to move your knee, bend your knee. But if you're not motivated, not just physically but mentally, that, okay, this hurts, but I'm not damaging the knee when it hurts. It's pain, which is very real, but I push that through an arc of motion right to your behind, so I know that no matter what you do as far as in therapy, bending as hard as you can't damage the knee. You can pull it right to your butt, and you cannot hurt your knee as far as the actual mechanics or what I did as far as a repair. The hip, it's a little bit more 90% me, 10% the patient. Not that I don't want hip patients doing their exercises, but if a knee patient ignored the protocols and didn't do their exercises, they're going to get a stiff, painful knee and be miserable. If a hip patient, for the most part, doesn't really work too hard at the therapy, but follows the basic kind of precautions so they don't kind of push it too hard initially, with time, it'll take a little longer, but with time, they'll probably get about the same recovery as if they really worked it, because those muscles tend to come back somewhat on their own just with normal walking and activity. It's just a different joint. And it's a ball and socket that moves round and round versus a knee, which is more of a hinge. It's not directly a hinge. Right. There's some rotation. So it's just the mechanics are different in the sense that a hip is almost on autopilot as far as recovery to an extent. The more you work, the more you exercise, the quicker you're going to get better. But a knee is very patient-dependent on what your outcome is going to be. And if you don't push it hard, you're not going to do well. It doesn't matter how perfect the operation is. If the patient doesn't do their part, you don't do well. And that's a big part of, again, the whole pre-op process is between me meeting with the patient and Nancy's class and meeting with the therapist. And as you mentioned, you got that pre-operative exercise book, what we call, you know, prehab, you know, at this point. You need to be really ready. Okay, these are the exercises. Oh, I did them before. I already know how to do these exercises. So post-op, when the therapist says, do this, oh, yeah, I've been doing that for the last month. It's easy. It's easy to then, you know, move on with that exercise versus, I don't even understand what you're telling me because you didn't open the book that you were supposed to look at.
Exactly.
Like you mentioned. Difference.
And I think that the classes that you do, Nancy, are great because I attended one of the classes.
Right.
And it was very interesting, you know, very informative. And they didn't pull any punches. You know, they told it like it is.
Right.
And which I thought was great because sometimes people sugarcoat things.
Right.
You know,
there's no sugarcoat.
And, you know, you don't want to sugarcoat this because,
you
know,
see me. You're
talking about an operation. I mean, you know, regardless of how routine it may be to the surgeon and whatever, it's new to the person having it done. So,
and if you didn't have any anxiety at all when you're coming in for a surgical intervention, I don't know if I'd believe you. If somebody said that to me, I mean, it's like, come on.
But the more you know between the appointments
with
me and the classes with Nancy, the more relaxed you'll be, the less anxious you'll be. The more you know, everybody's nervous going
into the
operation.
Of course they are. I mean, that's only natural.
But you'll be much
human nature.
There'll be no surprises, at least.
Right.
You'll be knowing every step of the way, okay, this is exactly what they told me was going to happen. And you know that it's normal, and you know that there's a light, you know, it's a pain and discomfort and whatnot with therapy that's going to get better every day. Instead of as you're dealing with the severe arthritis and it's getting a little worse and worse.
Right. In the hospital, whatever time you're in the hospital after the surgery, whether it's 2 days or 3 days or whatever it is, do they use a machine to exercise?
To bend a knee, the CPM. That's called a CPM or continuous passive motion machine. We do not use those anymore. Rarely they're used in like a revision. As someone that had a knee replacement that I needed, you know, 20 years ago, something like that, it had stiffness, had to be revised. In those patients, the reason we don't is because there's plenty of data that it doesn't really matter. Those machines, unfortunately, can give you a little false sense of security that you're actually doing your exercises when a machine is just kind of somewhat bending your knee and you're really lifting your hip and it isn't really bending. You think, oh, I did my exercise. It's much more important that the patient is actually doing exercise. Those machines, at best, were equivalent as far as long-term outcome. They didn't add anything except cost. They cost money, and the long-term result was no different. And it's much more important that the patient is actively actually doing therapy and exercising. So we, 99% of the time, they're not used at our hospital or most other hospitals.
Well, I have to tell you that when I was in Morristown, they hooked me up to this.
But five years ago, we were still using it.
They hooked me up to this, and the nurse says, well, it'd only be for a half hour. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. So, and it was like 6 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night. And my knees going back and forth, you know, up and down. 2 hours later, it was still going up and down, back and forth, up and down. This other nurse comes in and she goes, what in the? She turns it off, you know. She says, are you all right? Yeah. I said, yeah, I'm a little tired going like this, you know.
Right.
But, and I understand that shortly after I got out or, you know, a year or so later, they stopped using it. Mm-hmm. But I was just curious if we still use it.
No, that's why. Generally, I mean, the active therapy works much better.
Right.
You know, it's just you're not really doing anything. You know, you think you're doing something and you're really not. And more importantly, you know, it's at best, it's not that they were bad. It's just you didn't do any better by having that mm-hmm. silly machine moving
right.
your leg than if you
right.
just did the actual real therapy. And, you know, again, there's cost with everything we do,
sure.
and they got to look at the numbers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're very, very, other than the rare instances with revisions and things like that, it's very rare that anyone uses them anymore.
Now, I know you probably hit on it, but being older than you both, I have short-term memory. some of the options or treatments that are available other than surgery
mm-hmm.
are like what?
So initially, you know, whether it's hip or knee, you know, any joint really, if you have arthritis in, the initial treatment is very conservative with, you know, basic activity modification. Like you mentioned, if you're a runner, if you like biking, you know, you do the biking, you cross train a little bit, do running one day, biking another day, mix things up like that. Over the counter, you know, anti-inflammatory meds, Advil, Motrin, Aleve, things like that. Obviously, anything like that, you got to check with the primary care. There's side effects with any medication. You know,
sure,
heart,
absolutely.
Stomach, kidney, nothing is benign. So anything like that you add in, obviously, don't just do it on your own. Make sure your primary knows, can interact with other drugs, things like that. There's basic home exercises as far as strengthening, stretching, which you can get from the office or, you know, even a lot of that stuff is just online. There's formal physical therapy, which it doesn't cure your arthritis, but it does it can keep your range of motion better. It can work on your strength, work on your gait mechanics. So symptomatically and functionally, you do much better. But the joint itself is still relatively the same. But there's plenty of data that the therapy itself, as far as pain relief and function, can work really well for relief as well, you know, along with the weight loss, which obviously the more you're exercising
right.
and doing therapy, you're going to lose some weight. If those aren't doing enough, that's where prescription anti-inflammatories come in, Celebrex, Mobic, medications like that, and injections, which
that's
as far as the
had.
Injections yeah. go, either in the knee or the hip, you can do steroid injections, which in an already arthritic, somewhat destroyed hip or knee, it's basically just get the inflammation down. Itis means inflammation. So
mm-hmm.
if something's inflamed, you give an injection and get that inflammation to come down. 3-4 months plus, you can get good pain relief. If you're 20 years old and you have knee pain, getting a steroid injection is a bad idea because the steroid, even the numbing medicine in the steroid, can
right.
actually damage the joint, can damage the cartilage, jam, and the tendons. If you're on the line, in line to potentially need a joint replacement, you're damaged already, unfortunately. And we're just trying to keep you out of the operating room.
Right.
So you don't need to worry that doing a steroid shot once every 4 to 6 months is going to destroy your knee. We're just trying to keep you out of the operating room, keep you comfortable. So it's a little bit different. But you certainly don't want to do them if you have kind of some mild to moderate problems. You wouldn't want to do necessary multiple steroid shots if that didn't work. Or even if you have more significant arthritis and didn't work, you would move on to these gel injections,
right.
These hyaluronic acid substitutes, something Synvisc, Qflexa, Hyalgan, Gel One. There's like 10 different companies that make this stuff now. They're all pretty similar. They're basically what your cartilage is made out of, made in a lab, and it adds a gliding, lubricating cushion back to the joint. And those sometimes last 6 months or more. And there's really no significant risk other than a rare allergic reaction with doing those. So someone, you know, you definitely can, you make a progression of those based on relief, basically, to the other things.
Right.
And you kind of go, you know, home exercise, over-the-counter meds, weight loss, up to therapy and steroid shots, the gel shots. And if everything fails and your function and quality of life say, well, I'm really getting pretty miserable no matter what I do, then you got to start thinking about doing an operation.
Okay. In the last minute or so we have, if someone wanted to reach out to either of you, how would they get a hold of you? Nancy?
Well,
doctor.
Nancy is certainly you can always get a hold of any of us through Nancy. She is certainly to go to, and we'd love that if everyone just called Nancy and then just and she could handle everything.
Well, how would you do that, Nancy?
She certainly can, but you can call my office or call Nancy, and if Nancy needs me, she'll call me. If I need Nancy, I'll call Nancy. So it's different. So through the hospital, certainly, just the main hospital phone number is which is I never call the hospital. It's a speed dial. It's at 908. 788-6100. Right. And then from there, from the operator, you can connect to Nancy or Midgers Orthopedics. They can connect either way.
Right.
Directly for my office is 908-782-0600. Nancy's on speed dial on my phone, so I have no idea where her phone number is.
And my phone number at the hospital is 908-788-6423.
And then on a website, so www.midjerseyortho.com. If you just type Mid-Jersey or Hunter and Ortho, we used to be Hunter and Orthopedics, so everyone's here in Mid-Jersey wondering where the heck I'm from. We were Hunter and Orthopedics or Hunter and Orthopedics Institute for a while. We changed our name recently because we expanded into Somerset and Bridgewater.
Right.
So our name changed. But it's Hunter and Orthopedics, Mid-Jersey Orthopedics, Google any of that. You'll find our website, which you can then get to Nancy or from the hospital's website, which is the bone and joint.
Yes, centerforjointhealth.com.
And from there can link to us and vice versa.
Well, we thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it because it was very interesting as far as I was concerned, having had this done.
Sure.
I hope to have you back again.
We're happy to come by. We're not too far away.
So you take care. Have a good week. You've been listening to the Hunter Medical Center Show, compliments of the Hunter County Chamber of Commerce, and we'll be back again next week. Thank you. Have a good week.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. Donald Trump is still on top of the Republican presidential field. A new CBS poll has Trump getting 27% support of Republican primary voters, with neurosurgeon Ben Carson getting 21%. Texas Senator Ted Cruz is in third place with 9%, followed by Senator Marco Rubio with 8%. Carly Fiorina and Jeb Bush are tied at 6%. The field for Tuesday's Democratic presidential debate is set, at least for now. CNN says Hillary Clinton will be center stage, and on either side of her will be Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Jim Webb and Lincoln Chafee will be the bookends on stage. CNN is also keeping a seat warm for Vice President Joe Biden, should he jump into the race. Twitter could start laying off workers as early as this week. Several insiders say the San Francisco company will likely cut jobs in just about every department. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Tonight, Best Time Ever with Neil Patrick Harris moves to a new time, 8, 7 Central, live on NBC.
Best Time Ever is so good, it's crazy good.
Well, speaking of good, next it's the battle round on The Voice.
With some truly amazing vocal talent.
Yes, followed by the big season premiere of Chicago Fire.
Okay, hold up. Last season there was a dead woman in Casey's apartment.
Ugh, yes.
But no Casey.
Right.
What happened to Casey?
I do not know, but we will find out tonight on NBC.
Casey better be okay, or there will be a lot of people upset.
Hey, neighbor, it's me, that guy two desks away that never takes a sick day. Seriously, you could always count on me to show up, even if I feel terrible. Which reminds me, I have the flu, and if you're one of the 63% of people that didn't get their flu shot, you can get it from me. You really should get a flu shot at Rite Aid, where you'll also get a free cold and flu protection plan to protect you from people like me. Another reason Rite Aid says with us, it's personal.
Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
Two Americans are among the five people killed in a Sunday helicopter crash in Afghanistan. NATO says the military chopper went down in Kabul, killing the two U.S. service members, a French civilian contractor, and two British service members. The incident is under investigation. A Washington Post reporter is guilty of espionage in Iran after being in prison for more than 400 days. Foreign editor Douglas Gell tells Fox News there's a lot that they still don't know about.